Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 3 minutes after the hour, Thursday, May 13th, 2021. Today is the Solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord and the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Coming up, we'll talk about how you can deepen your love of our Blessed Mother through the apparitions of Fatima and that message of Fatima that has not changed in the last 104 years. Also, have you ever been blessed to be at Fatima? Father James Kubicki was. We'll unpack that and this Feast of the Ascension coming up in this hour of Morning Air. And of course, COVID-19, you and I have heard stories, and maybe this happened in your own family, where a soul in their final moment of life was not able to be with family or receive the last sacraments of the church because of the disease, because of quarantines. In just a few minutes, find out how five bishops and a Catholic governor decided to change that, and thanks be to God did. That's coming up in just a few minutes here on Morning Air. But as we start this brand new day, we begin in prayer. We invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. 5 minutes after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Thanks be to God, Arizona's five bishops are expressing their gratitude to Governor Doug Ducey for a brand new law that overturned forbidding hospitals from unduly restricting clergy visitations during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's a major change that happened, thanks be to God, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the state of Arizona. Bishop James Wall is a member of our faith family here on Morning Air. He's the bishop of the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico, and that has counties in New Mexico and also Arizona. So he was a part of this group of five bishops that got this law overturned. And Bishop Wall is going to tell us how he did that today. It's a victory for Catholics. It's a victory for religious liberty. And Bishop Wall, good morning and welcome back to Morning Air.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. I always enjoy our monthly conversations.
And I know you have joined your voice with your brother bishops in Arizona because the Diocese of Gallup borders two states and is in parts of two states, both New Mexico and Arizona, on this brand new law that now forbids hospitals from restricting you as clergy in visits with COVID-19 patients.
Because we're pretty excited about it because, as you might imagine, during the pandemic, and when the pandemic first began, there were all sorts of different responses from some hospitals were easier than other hospitals. Some were very, very restrictive and some weren't. And it created a lot of difficulties for us, but most especially it created a lot of difficulties for families who wanted their loved ones who were close to death or in danger of death. They wanted him to receive the sacraments, to have, you know, a visit from a priest or have somebody bring him Holy Communion. All these things are so important to us. And we ran into a number of instances where that wasn't possible because of that. And, you know, God bless the healthcare workers that put their lives on the line, on the front line. They're working daily. And at the beginning of this, we didn't know how infectious this was, how dangerous it was, all sorts of different things. So I know a lot of people were erring on the side of caution, but as we've seen as time has gone on, that it is perfectly fine if we take the precautions for clergy to visit those who are in hospitals, hospice cares, different things like that, so that they can receive the sacraments.
And this is legislation that's called House Bill 2575 in Arizona, which amends a law that says if the hospital is allowing in-person visits of any kind, they also have to have the ability of the clergy to visit a patient in person and for religious purposes. What were you doing during the pandemic in order to reach Catholic patients whom you couldn't physically see in those very critical moments?
Well, I do. I'll give you one example. We did have this was a non-COVID related death too. We had one of our deacons whose wife unfortunately passed away, and she was in a hospital in northern Arizona, and they were not permitting anyone to visit. Now, they were allowing internal chaplains to visit, but these weren't necessarily Catholic chaplains. And so here we have a woman who's, and she did, sadly, she did die. And they weren't permitting her pastor or priest to come in and give her the apostolic pardon, give her the sacraments and anointing of the sick, give her the things that she needed. And it created a real heartache and real sadness for the husband, the family, as well as all of us. And so what we were doing was just pleading with them as best as possible. Now, praise God, at the very last moment, they did allow her pastor to come in, but it was just at the very last moment that they allowed us to do that. So we had days and days of just kind of heartache and anxiety and panic and all sorts of things that this poor woman would die without the sacraments. So we were creating a lot of sort of prayer chains, asking people to pray and getting the message out and asking people to pray if we couldn't get into the hospital, just to lift the people who were, in this case, obviously non-COVID, but it was during the pandemic, or those who were at the they're close to death because of the COVID. We were just asking people to lift them up in prayer. It wasn't always the same in each hospital. They were all different. And I'm just giving you an example. The one that was particularly hard for us, difficult, they weren't very, they didn't really want to work with us. But now, thanks to State Rep Nguyen and our wonderful Catholic Governor, Doug Ducey, we have this great law that allows us to do this. And this, you know, we want to take care of people physically. We also want to take care of them spiritually. And we want to give them the sacraments that they rely upon.
Bishop Ball, how do you comfort any members of our Relevant Radio listeners hearing our conversation this morning who were not able to have a loved one receive those very last sacraments of the Catholic Church before they passed?
Well, I think one of the things to remember is that God is not limited simply to his sacraments. The sacraments are given to us by him. But if in cases like this where somebody wasn't able to go in and visit, somebody wasn't able to bring them the sacraments, you know, God's not limited by that, by our human actions, our human restrictions, and to also to know that those prayers that we offer for those people, you know, family members, whatever the case might be. Those do not go unheard. Those are prayers that come before the throne of God, and those are prayers that are answered. So trust in those prayers that God does hear those prayers, even if they were unable to receive the sacraments. Again, He's not limited by his sacraments.
Bishop James Wall joining us from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico this morning on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As more bishops across the country, Bishop Wall, as more of your brother bishops lift the dispensation for Sunday Mass, as governors either lift the mask rules, the numbers of people who can attend and worship, what is this? What do you say to those who are listening to have that message of come home emphasized at this very critical time?
I think the thing that I would say is that the church doors are always open, and the church doors are always inviting. We have that beautiful image of St. Peter's Basilica, and the arms open wide, you know, open wide to the world, and that's the image of the church. And the doors are always open. The church is always open. She is the mother, always with the embracing arms, always waiting for her children to come back. And as we're starting to see people, you know, kind of approaching that herd immunity that we hear so much about. And we know that we're taking the necessary precautions in terms of, you know, making sure we're washing our hands, making sure we're being as clean as possible, making sure that we're wearing masks where it is necessary, all those different things, that we are able to, provide a safe environment for people to come back to Mass. Now, if you do have a condition that prevents you from doing that, that's perfectly understandable. And that when we lift the dispensation, that doesn't mean that the requirement to go to Sunday Mass is on you. If you have something like that, an illness, some sort of thing like that.
If you're a caregiver. But
And so it's important just to remember that when and if you're able to come back to Mass, that the Church is always there waiting for you. And to come back to Mass, come back within the worshiping community to do the most important things that we can do as Catholics, which is enter into the celebration of the sacrifice of the Mass. It's good to watch it virtually if we're able to, but nothing can ever replace the physical presence of being within the worshiping community and the priest offering the celebration of the sacrifice of the Mass, and then receiving the bread of life, Jesus imparting his very own life within us. So if you're able, I would strongly encourage you to come back. My mother is 82 years old. She's vaccinated, and she's in relatively good health, and I've encouraged her to start going back to Mass, too, and she's done that. And she continues to take all these precautions, physical distancing, all these different things that are good and necessary for us to do. She wears her mask, things like that. And if you're able to, I would just strongly encourage you. We are right now, I don't see a time when we're going to be able to do that just yet. I'm hoping to do that in the Diocese of Gallup, but as I've spoken about on our show before, many of our parishes on the reservation, which is 60% of our diocesan lands, had remained closed until just recently. So for almost an entire year, most of the reservation parishes were closed. You couldn't have Mass with an assembly present. Now we're starting to slowly lift that. And I'll look at lifting the dispensation when we have all of our parishes on all of our reservations and non-reservations as well are able to have people present for that. But until then, I think it's just fair for us to deal with things on a kind of a case-by-case basis, whether you're on a reservation or not, whether you're in a reservation that allows people to be present or not. This Sunday, I'm going down to the White Mountain Apache Reservation, which I'm really excited about because I'll give First Holy Communion and confirm about 15 members of the community there. But they've little by little started to open up their some of the things, lift some of the restrictions in terms of attendance at different gatherings, in this case, a religious gathering.
And if you're not familiar with the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico, and our conversations with Bishop Wall, it covers a very large geographical area of western New Mexico and eastern Arizona, with many Native American reservations as a part of the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. And as we talk about lifting dispensations, and even in those dioceses where that dispensation has been lifted, this is really, as we prepare for Pentecost, a Holy Spirit moment to discern and really ask the Holy Spirit for your own personal guidance about whether or not to return if you're in a certain state of health.
Yeah, that's really important. If somebody might be maybe recently healed from cancer and had gone through, you know, chemotherapy, radiation, different things like that, and your health might be compromised, or you might be somebody who suffers from diabetes. As we've seen over the last year, this is a particular virus that really affects those with diabetes and puts them at a greater risk than others. So if you have things like that, you know, that's important to pray about it and to discern about it, you know, whether it's good and necessary for me to go back to Mass at this time. And so that's really important. I think the other thing too is to speak with the local clergy, speak to your priests, your deacons, the religious, and ask them, get their opinion. We can always do that with a simple phone call, mm-hmm. and get their opinions about that as well. I think sometimes when we hear, you know, the dispensation is lifted and the obligation returns, then automatically we think, I have to go back to Mass. Well, there are certain circumstances where we don't necessarily need to go back to Mass.
Right.
For example, I've counseled, I don't know how many times in my 23 years as a priest, I don't know how many times I've counseled people in confession when they've come to me and confessed that they missed Sunday Mass. And I asked the question, well, why did you miss it? And they said, well, I was sick. And I said, well, that's not a sin. That's the obligation is not there when you're sick and to go to Mass. So there are certain circumstances that don't require us to go to Mass. One of them would be an illness, one would be like a pre-existing condition, especially in the time of pandemic. And most dioceses, if you see when they start to lift the dispensation, they'll run through kind of a litany of things that if you're experiencing these things, this does not apply to you.
Right.
I think that's also key to look at. And we're approaching Pentecost, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Holy Spirit for guidance in all of this, and then talk to people. Get different people's advice. For example, I just gave you the example of my mother. My mother talks to her son and asks her, and I tell her when I think it's going to be good or not for her to go back. And that's, I think that's, those are good things for us to do.
Nice to have a son who's a bishop. Bishop James Walden.
Yeah, I think she thinks that. I think so.
From the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico, you talked about going down to the White Mountains to the Apache Reservation to confirm many young people. What's your confirmation name? Why did you choose it?
I chose Thomas Moore, and I just was so inspired by him and by his story when I learned it. And it's, you know, he was a layman. I'm obviously a cleric, and I thought about all sorts of different ones. I wanted to choose Sebastian growing up because, you know, patron saint of athletes, and I always played sports and stuff, and I was inspired by St. John Vianney, patron saint of priests, and so I had a bunch of different ones. Maximilian Kolbe always inspired me too. But I tell the young people too, you know, you're going to choose your saint, but sometimes the saint chooses you. And right. I think Thomas Moore chose me. And I think one of the reasons was because he was such a courageous man. And I think we always needed people to be people of courageous hearts and, you know, speaking out of the truth and always doing it in charity. And so the more and more I look back on why he chose Thomas Moore, I think it was one of the ways that the Lord was putting that saint in my life, knowing that I was going to have a bit of a duty, quite the task placed before me, eventually becoming a priest and then eventually becoming a bishop. So I have a great devotion. We all know the story of Thomas Moore, especially in A Man for All Seasons. And that was a big inspiration for me. And probably one of the connectors for me too is the saint that he's associated with is St. John Fisher, who was a bishop for 31 years in England. He was the only bishop that spoke out against Henry VIII. And he was a bishop in the poorest diocese in England. Well, I'm the bishop in the poorest diocese in the United States. I was made a bishop at 44. If I go to 75, and that will be 31 years. And so and I want to be courageous like John Fisher was and Thomas Moore, too. So it's amazing to see how the Lord can place these different saints in your lives.
You know, it's a Holy Spirit moment, Bishop Wall. We were having a conversation about this very topic just a couple of days ago, and Aaron called from Providence, and he and his wife both came into the Catholic Church this Easter. They were baptized, they received First Holy Communion, they were also confirmed. And he said, I was as Protestant as they came, I was as anti-Catholic as they came. Then I started realizing the truth, and the name he chose, his confirmation name, Thomas Moore.
Ah, there you go. The great saint.
Isn't that amazing?
Literally a man for all seasons, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another Holy Spirit moment. Our time goes by very quickly with Bishop James Wall, the Bishop of the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. May we have your blessing this morning, Bishop Wall?
Absolutely. May the Lord in his love and his mercy, may he pour his spirit upon you and bless you and keep you. May he give you a courageous heart to always proclaim the truth in charity in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You remain in our prayers, Bishop Wall. Thanks and God bless.
Thanks, John. God bless you and all of our listeners.
Thank you, Bishop Wall. Our time now is 22 after on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Where were you 40 years ago today? It was a Wednesday, May 13th, 1981, and it was just after lunchtime here in the East Coast when the news broke. And what was on television at the time, CNN, was less than a year old, and everybody thought, this whole news thing isn't going to last. There were no 24-hour news networks except CNN, and for the rest of us on ABC, CBS, and NBC, we were watching soap operas and game shows, and then the news broke.
Good evening. Now it's happened again. Less than 7 weeks ago, the President of the United States in the city of Washington Today, the Pope in the eternal city of Rome.
John Paul was doing what we've come to call his special thing, riding through St. Peter's Square in Vatican City, reaching out to touch the children held aloft for his blessing. Suddenly, shots from the crowd.
John Paul slumped into the arms of his private secretary, was rushed back out of St. Peter's Square, past the stunned pilgrims and tourists who moments before had been crowding close for a touch, a word, or a smile.
In his book, Memory and Identity, which was published 2 months before his death, he said the attacker, Ali Aka, aimed correctly but chose the wrong day. May 13th is the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. He also said the attack was not Aka's initiative, but someone else's. In 1982, John Paul II placed a bullet that hit him in the crown of the Virgin of Fatima. In the year 2000, he revealed that the third secret of Fatima makes reference to his attack. He recalled how three shepherd children had seen a bishop dressed in white walking tiredly toward the cross when he falls dead to the ground.
Ali Aka will leave the high-security Sinkan prison in Ankara after serving a 29-year sentence in Italy and Turkey for the attack on John Paul II. Whatever happens, the former terrorist says he will travel to Rome because he feels a duty to pray at the tomb of John Paul II. He says that after so many years in prison, he's a new man.
It was 40 years ago today. It was just a few months before I became a daily mass goer, but I went to mass at a small chapel nearby where I worked at the time, and it was absolutely packed. And I remember we were all talking about it, obviously total strangers coming together to pray for the Pope and his well-being and his survival. And I was next to a man who had just come from a service station. He was wearing his service station clothes, and he mentioned that he had not been to church in 28 years. But he came that day to pray for the Pope. Glenn, you were in college when that happened.
I tell you, that spring was pretty wild. It was only 7 weeks before that President Reagan was shot. I remember walking past the steps of the journalism building at the University of Minnesota and hearing the news, people talking about it, is how I heard. And they were happy about that. That was kind of sad. And then here, just a short 7 weeks later, I remember actually driving home listening to a top 40 radio station, and it was announced, the news of the Pope. And that was something you wouldn't normally heard anything what the Pope talked about on a top 40 radio station. And, you know, of course, it was big enough news for that. But it turns out the announcer who mentioned that was a fabulous guy I ended up working with just a couple of years later in radio. And maybe he had an extra heart for sharing that news. But yeah, again, you're wondering, you know from studying 1968 with the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy and anti-war protests, and like, wow, are we going through this again?
I know, that's 40 years ago today, remembering that today. And of course, now we pray for the intercession of Pope St. John Paul II. Our time is 26 after. And what a day it is. It's the Solemnity of the Ascension. It's also the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. We'll talk about both of those. And perhaps if you have been blessed to make a pilgrimage to Fatima, sharing your stories with Father James Kubicki coming up next, right after we hear the gospel where Jesus is taken up to his Father on this Solemnity of the Ascension. It's from the 16th chapter of Mark on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester. At 29 before the hour, John and Glenn on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. What a day in our church calendar, the Solemnity of the Ascension. It's also the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. Let's unpack this very rich day in our church calendar with Father James Kubicki, who's a member of our Relevant Radio family with his daily prayer reflections. And Father is the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. Hi, Father Kubicki. How are you?
Good morning, John, Glenn. I'm doing pretty well this morning. How about yourself?
We are blessed to have you on. Of course, it's a holy day of obligation. Again, depending on where you are, Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Omaha, but for the rest, the Feast of the Ascension, the Solemnity of the Ascension is going to be celebrated this Sunday.
That's right. Here in South Dakota, where I live, we're going to be celebrating on Sunday. But just to our south, Nebraska, all the diocese of Nebraska are celebrating the solemnity today. Omaha, Grand Island, Lincoln. So it's kind of an odd thing that the country is divided in that way. But anyway, I think of it in terms of being able to celebrate it twice, because like we can talk a little bit about it and then also have it on Sunday.
And also, this is the feast day 104 years ago, small town about 100 miles from Lisbon, Portugal, Our Lady of Fatima appearing to the three children.
That's right. That was 104 years ago. And also, it's the 40th anniversary of the assassination attempt on St.
Right.
John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. And, you know, the amazing thing about that is that the gunman, Ali Aga, shot the Holy Father at exactly the same time that Our Blessed Mother appeared to the children in Fatima. So it was on May 13th at 5:13 in the afternoon that the assassination attempt happened and that Our Lady appeared. And that's why Pope St. John Paul was convinced that our Blessed Mother, under the title Our Lady of Fatima, saved him from death. He went so far as to say that there was one finger that pulled the trigger, that was the assassin's finger, but it was another finger that guided the bullet away from a very vital artery in his abdomen that, if it had been struck by the bullet, would have killed him. He would have bled to death. So it's a wonderful reminder that our Blessed Mother is so good, so loving, and also so powerful.
And also, when you look at what happened in Fatima between today and October 13th, 1917, where Our Lady appeared to those three Portuguese children, 10, 9, and 7 years old, while some believed in them, most of them rejected what those children had seen.
That's right. You know, and again, because I think in one way, you know, the church is very careful, but also Portugal was at that time struggling with an atheistic socialist government, and so the authorities were very opposed to anything religious. But then, you know, the majority of people wonder, well, why didn't Our Lady appear to me, you know, and why to these three small children? Can you really believe the children? Aren't they tending towards some kind of hysteria? And yet Our Lady on October 13th, 1917, I think convinced the world that she really was appearing because of a great solar event that has not been able to be explained by any kind of scientific reason. And tens of thousands of people saw this, and it was also reported in the atheist newspaper of the time. And so it's the sort of thing that I wish more people knew about, because, you know, people even today keep saying, well, why don't we see more miracles? Why don't we see more manifestations? And throughout history, God, and especially through Our Blessed Mother, they've been doing great things in order to lead us to faith. But it's as though, you know, that was then, what about now? We want new manifestations, new signs. And I'm always reminded of Jesus, who said, you know, this generation seeks signs, but the only sign that will be given to it is the sign of Jonah, which basically is the sign of his death and resurrection. You know, that Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale, and Jesus said, the Son of Man, he himself, the Messiah, would spend 3 days in the tomb and then rise from the tomb, just like Jonah came out of the belly of the whale. So, we have to say, faith should not depend upon signs. Signs are given to us that we might believe, but we need to remember those signs and not just seek for new ones every year as it comes along.
And, of course, Father Kubicki, on this feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady wanted the children to pray the rosary for an end to World War I and for a conversion to Russia. And, you know, that's a message that rings true again today. And thanks be to God for the Family Rosary across America, which was born out of the COVID-19 pandemic and has become one of the fastest growing radio programs any place in America, weeknights at 7 o'clock Central here on Relevant Radio, where we do hear and see so many families praying the rosary and understanding, as St. Padre Pio would say, the power of the rosary as well, plus the innocence and the beauty of the prayer requests from many children who call Father Rocky every night. That is a great sense of hope, and also carrying out that message to pray the rosary.
Yes, absolutely, John. And that's why Pope Francis has said during this month of May, he wants everyone, and he himself is praying the rosary at a particular time every day, and inviting the world to do so for the end to the pandemic. But I think what's important is the Our Blessed Mother, when she appeared to the children in 1917, said that if we did not follow her peace plan, and it was a plan of praying the rosary and also doing penance, making sacrifices for the conversion of sinners who are the cause of war in our world, That if we don't do that, there would be a greater war, and that's what happened. There was World War II that followed. And so this peace plan is just as important today, to pray the rosary, to do penance, to offer sacrifices for the conversion of sinners.
Have you been to Fatima? 888-914-9149 on this feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. We're sharing those stories. Perhaps you've been blessed to make a pilgrimage to Fatima. What was it like for you? Father Rocky was telling us about the great peace that he experienced in his one pilgrimage there. What about you if you have been blessed? 888-914-9149. Father Kabicki, have you been to Fatima?
Yes, I have. I went on a Relevant Journeys pilgrimage with Juan Landa and a whole group of about 45 of us, I think. And it was just a fantastic experience. It was very much a retreat experience, a prayer experience, because, you know, we stayed in Fatima and visited the sites where the angel appeared to the children and Our Blessed Mother appeared. And we didn't go traveling around to a lot of other shrines. We just stayed there. And so it was very prayerful and retreat-like. And I'm always reminded of something that Mother Mary Elizabeth, who was, I don't know if she's still the Mother Superior of the Carmelite Monastery in Denmark, Wisconsin, but she had worked there as a volunteer before she became a Carmelite sister. And she said this to me once. She said that Lourdes is basically Our Blessed Mother healing the body. So she said, "What Lourdes is to the body, Fatima is to the soul." In other words, it's a place of great spiritual healing for troubled people. And you know, at Fatima, there's a place they have. It's an interesting thing. They have, you can buy. I want to say parts of a body. They're done in wax, and so if you're having trouble with your knee, or if you have a problem with your heart, or they have these models in wax of these various parts of the body, and you make a prayer and you put them into a pyre, a furnace, where they burn up. And the idea is seeking that physical healing, but it's also a place of great spiritual healing.
We're talking about Fatima today on the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima with Father James Kabicki. Our number, 888-914-9149. If you have been blessed to make a pilgrimage to Fatima, sharing your stories this morning. We begin with Pat in Philadelphia, listening to Relevant Radio 640. Hi, Pat. Tell us about your pilgrimage. Welcome to Morning Air.
Yes. Good morning, John. Thank you very much. Yes, my husband Fran and I did visit Fatima, probably 25 years ago. And it was the most special, special thing we had ever done. The evening pilgrimage all around Fatima with the lighted candles, the morning masses, the prayers that we had learned that the children had said during the Fatima visit. It was the most, we stayed at the most beautiful hotel right in the grotto there, the International. And it was the most uplifting, wonderful thing we had ever, ever experienced. And you just leave there and you can fly home without the plane, because that's how much alive and holy the whole trip was. And thank you for listening. And it was magnificent.
How did it change how you prayed, Pat? How did it change you and your husband, Fran, how you prayed together as a couple and individually after you visited Fatima?
We learned another prayer that the angels had said to the children when they appeared to the children. We learned much more besides the children, a lady appearing to the children. But anyway, the prayer that the angels taught them, Fran and I said, "Forever and ever and still do, my Lord, I believe, I hope, I love, and I adore you. And I pray and I'm so sorry for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, do not love you." That we say over and over, and we learned that in Fatima. And we learned that was the prayer the angels had revealed to the children, besides so many other things, giving communion to one of the children, and so many things that we had learned and heard about from there. It was like a week-long mass that never ended, occasionally for some food, and that was it. Right back to the grotto again, put our request from our friends into that burning oven that the gentleman was talking about, came home to the city, and people were in tears thanking us for taking our prayers there and putting them into the grotto that Our Lady appeared in, and so many healings from them and for them. And it was so, so spiritual and so great. And we went back another time with friends and still talk about it today, and it was the most unbelievable thing. I love what you just said, that Lourdes is the healing for the body. Fatima is the healing for the heart. My God, is that so true? It was true for us, and I thank you for that.
Father Kubicki, we got to get Pat on the radio. She's masterful with word pictures. Pat, your second
Definitely,
calling is going
to
be here on Relevant Radio.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying what a special time for my husband and I, how we spent the week there, and it was like 7 days of just continuous mass adoration, grotto, walking around the grotto at nighttime with lit candles, thousands of people there. We went on October 13th at the ending, and it rained that day. Umbrellas went up, came down. Birds came out. It was the most spiritual, uplifting thing that we had ever witnessed.
Hey, Pat, thanks for sharing that story. That's just magnificent. And blessings to you and your husband, Fran. Thanks for sharing this morning. 888-914-9149. What a great word picture. That's Pat's experience and her pilgrimage to Fatima. What about yours? 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. And perhaps a little controversy, small c, about the third secret of Fatima. We'll explore that as we continue with Father James Kubicki and your calls here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester. It's 14 before on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Glenn's got a fresh story corner coming up in the next 10 minutes on this solemnity of the Ascension. It's also the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. And we're sharing your amazing stories about being blessed to make a pilgrimage to Fatima. 888-914-9149, our conversation this morning with Father James Kubicki, a Jesuit priest and a Relevant Radio contributor with his daily prayer reflections. All right, the third secret here. 2000, and this comes during the beatification, Father Kubicki, of Francisco and Jacinta. No cataclysmic prediction, but this vision of a bishop in white who was shot, and perhaps the vision of the assassination attempt of Pope John Paul II, which happened 40 years ago today, as you were talking about. Why is there still a little bit of controversy that perhaps surrounds that?
Just, what you described, that in this third quote secret or vision that the children had, there was a bishop dressed in white, and the only bishop who dresses in white is the
Pope,
the Holy Father, that he was shot and killed. And so it was seen as a prophetic word. But Sister Lucia, one of the visionaries, said that this is what they saw, but it was up to the church to interpret it. And so St. John Paul, after the assassination attempt, read what was written, the three secrets and such, and then working with Cardinal Ratzinger, who later became Pope Benedict XVI, interpreted this to mean that, yes, the Holy Father was shot, but he did not die, and that was because of the prayers and penance and all the spiritual, let's say, power of the faithful. Mm-hmm. So the way Cardinal Ratzinger put it was this. He said that what this shows us is that there is no, he put it, immutable destiny, that faith and prayer are forces that can influence history. And then he said, and in the end, prayer is more powerful than bullets and faith more powerful than armies. And I think that's important for us to take. So the controversy is some people say the secret has not been fulfilled or it has not been fully revealed. But according to the church's teaching, through Pope, through Cardinal Ratzinger, later Pope Benedict, and St. John Paul himself, they feel that it was indeed fulfilled.
And maybe it's an attack, I'll put that word in quotes, of all of us as Catholics when we see the culture of relativism attacking our faith today and what we need to do to stand up and defend it, Father Kubicki.
Absolutely. And this is why, Fatima is such a miracle of hope, that Our Lady appeared during World War I and called for prayer and penance and the rosary. The war would end, she predicted, but if we didn't turn to God and continue to pray, that what would happen would be that worse war. So, You know, I think what we're seeing, you know, our tendency is to be tempted to give up faith, to give up hope. And really the message of Fatima is to have faith and have hope and to put that into action by praying for the conversion of sinners, which is a great act of charity.
And those little bells you heard was the Holy Spirit texting Father Kubicki. I'm sure you'll hear about that message in his next prayer reflection here on Relevant Radio, here on this feast day of our... I got to find out if the Holy Spirit got your phone number, although I think he's got all of our numbers, so to speak. We're talking about the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima and sharing your stories this morning on Morning Air. Jim Shaper, who's one of our producers, you went to Fatima. What was that like for you, Jim?
Yeah, so I was very blessed. I timed it to be in the year 2000. I took my semester abroad trip to Austria, and so I had a 10-day break. So I was able to go down through France and Spain and then finished up the pilgrimage in Portugal at Fatima on the anniversary. So I arrived there on the eve of the anniversary, and there's thousands and thousands of people in the square and staying in the town. So I wasn't able to find a place right away to stay. So I thought, you know, what's going to happen? I've got to sleep sometime. So it was just a beautiful experience. There was a beautiful mass. The square was packed for an outdoor mass on the eve of the anniversary of the Miracle of the Sun. And just a beautiful experience. So I thought, you know what? The church is open all night. Maybe I can just hunker down in a corner and hold up my rosary and pray and eventually fall asleep. Well, the basilica was absolutely packed.
Wow.
And so I said, Mary, you've got this. You've got to help me out here. And so I had incidentally, when I arrived, I had met a former student of the university from Franciscan. And he said, you look like a Franciscan student. I said, well, what gives it away? I don't know. It must have been a Holy Spirit moment. And so we got a chance to talk. We knew that some of the same people. So later on in that evening, I walk out of the basilica and he says, where are you staying? And I said, I don't know. I don't have a place. He said, well, you know, somebody gave me a couple sleeping bags. Do you want one? And I said, sure. So we end up right next to the basilica is a chapel where the actual original apparition took place.
Wow.
So we camp out behind that chapel.
Wow.
And that's where I slept, and it was the most peaceful sleep. I didn't feel like there was going to be anybody coming to get any out of my belongings at all. I was right there behind that apparition. Mary had it covered, and you know, just a beautiful experience. It was incredible. So
yeah, I was just going to say that had to be the most peaceful sleep of your life. What a great story from Jim Shaper, who's one of our producers. Mary's in New Jersey. Mary, did you make a pilgrimage to Fatima? Good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. What was that like for you?
Well, good morning. No, I never did get to Fatima. However, my husband and I are preparing to leave in about an hour to go to the Washington Shrine in New Jersey of Our Lady of Fatima. It's been there for many, many years, and we have attended the May through October celebrations many, many times. We've had our children consecrated to Mary. We continually pray the rosary for the conversion of sinners. We're trying to do everything that she asks us to do. And, you know, First Saturdays is one of the important things that came from the Fatima apparitions. And I've been leading that in the two churches that I've belonged to ever since then, in 1986. So we are well in tune to the message of Fatima. And I can't recommend more praying the rosary every day, especially within the family. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it really is. And by the way, that's the National Blue Army Shrine of Our Lady of Fatima,
which is dedicated to
the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and that's located in Asbury, New Jersey, and it's just absolutely beautiful. It's probably one of the best kept secrets, in terms of different of Catholic destinations here in the United States. Mary, call us back tomorrow or the day after, and let us know what that experience was like for you and your husband. Thanks so much, Mary. God bless you.
Our bishop is going to be there today, Bishop Cecchio, so we're looking really forward to it.
Okay, that's great. We've had him on the radio program. What a great bishop. What a great holy man. Thanks so much, Mary. 888-914-9149 with Father James Kubicki today on this Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. And perhaps we've been talking a great deal about the rosary, Father, and the Family Rosary Across America, which is weeknights at 7 Central. And I know you've heard that with Father Rocky here on Relevant Radio. It has just grown by leaps and bounds to the point where it's one of the fastest growing radio programs in America. And again, it's all because of the power of the rosary. And the great hope, as we've mentioned earlier, the young people, the children, who call in with prayer intentions. And there is a beauty of the simplicity of those prayer requests. And, you know, perhaps that's another message that we take out of Fatima, is to have more childlike faith, just as Francisco, Jacinta, and Lucia had.
Yes, you know, they are the youngest youngest children to be canonized who were not martyrs. And so they're a great example to us that children are called to holiness as well. You don't have to be an adult to become holy. And their holiness, the reason they were canonized, is not simply because our Blessed Mother appeared to them, but because they lived that message of Fatima, praying the rosary and offering sacrifices for the conversion of sinners.
Mary's in Eagan, Minnesota, listening to Relevant Radio 1330. Mary, what's your experience of being blessed to make a pilgrimage to Fatima?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. It actually is a story that my mother told us, and that was documented by a priest who was on this religious tour to Fatima. And I apologize, I don't know the details. I do have the article, and I did read it, but I don't recall the details anymore. But I believe it was in the 1970s, and they were on a religious tour. This priest was on the plane, and my mother was on the plane. And on the return flight, after they toured Fatima and Lourdes, the plane lost altitude over the ocean in the middle of the night. And no one knew the cause until they made an emergency landing. I believe it was in Newark. And the pilots the next morning in the hotel told them all that a meteorite had hit the cockpit.
Wow.
Broken the window. And this is all documented, and, you know, that is such a rare occurrence that this happens to an airplane in flight. So some of the passengers who were on the flight said that they witnessed the Virgin Mary holding on to the wings, guiding their plane to safety. And I'm going to look up the details for you, and I will email those to you, because it was such a fascinating story. My mother now is 84, and she is unfortunately dying. She's on hospice care now, but I'm so grateful that she told that story, and I myself plan to get there at some point. So thank you for listening to my story today.
And also, we'll be praying for, I'm going into the Adoration Chapel a little bit later on. What's your mom's name, Mary, so I can pray for her?
Thank you. Jean, J-E-A-N.
Okay, we'll be praying for her today. And then also, you know that Our Lady will meet your mom and bring her to her son at that moment that she's called back home. So Mary, we'll be praying for Jean. And if you find out more about that story, let us know or give us a call back. Thanks so much, and God bless you. That's Mary in Eagan, Minnesota this morning. God bless at 888-914-9149. What beautiful stories. And they're all life-changing stories, right, Father Kubicki?
That's right. And again, it shows us that if we have faith practice these the peace plan that our Blessed Mother gave us, that, you know, miracles are possible. We've talked before, you know, John, about the power of Saint Joseph, and now we're talking about the power of our Blessed Mother. And these are the communion of saints. It's them working with God's power coming through them to us. So it's a great reminder that the time of miracles is not over.
One of those Holy Spirit moments just occurred. You said peace plan, and that can really be the spiritual hashtag. Our Catholic hashtag for today is hashtag peace plan. What is the peace plan? Of course, globally, in the message of Our Lady of Fatima, but the peace plan within our own lives, within our own families, where there may not be that peace, where there may be some tension. So hashtag peace plan is a beautiful thing to start today in your own life, something that you can control with the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima, Father.
That's right. And John, I have to mention that later today at 11 o'clock Central Time on the Inner Life Show, I'll be talking with Josh Raymond a little more about Fatima, and we'll be talking about praying the rosary and how we can better pray the rosary. And we're going to invite families to give us little hints about how they pray the rosary with their children. So you can tune into the Inner Life Show in a few hours.
That's at 11 o'clock Central with Josh Raymond every day. Josh is doing such a great job since Chuck Neff retired. In fact, I was in the car one day listening to The Inner Life, and I just turned it on. And I, you know, I was getting used to Josh's voice on the radio as opposed to just seeing him in the office. And I'm saying, boy, this is a great priest they have on. And then I realized it was Josh hosting the show. But Father Kubicki will be on today at 11 Central. And Patrick Madrid is coming up next. Our time now is a minute before the hour here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.